comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you what you are doing, why you are doing this, say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Amen.
This morning, I would like you to cast your minds back about a couple of thousand years, please, if you could. And we're going to go to a specific event to picture this event in our minds. And the event, of course, is that first Palm Sunday, the day when Jesus enters Jerusalem. Can we imagine ourselves there amongst the crowds? We might already be a follower of Jesus, or perhaps we're somebody who's just curious about Jesus. You know, we've heard all these things he's been doing, and we thought, we'll go and see him, see what he's like. What's all this fuss about? Every year, we look at Palm Sunday. It's part of the lectionary, and it marks the beginning of Holy Week for us. But what does Palm Sunday really mean to us today? Shops are open. I'm pretty much of a generation where on Sunday you stayed at home and you went to church and you visited your relatives. You certainly didn't go out shopping or to a mall or anything. So what does Palm Sunday mean to us today? And can we even begin to imagine what it meant to people that first Palm Sunday? So let's just set the scene for Palm Sunday. Before his arrival in Jerusalem, Jesus has been teaching in the synagogue, outside in the open, meeting people where they were. Don't we often hear today, we don't know how to get people to come to church. They used to come, but they're not coming now. Perhaps here, Jesus is showing us by example. He's been carrying out miracles. And at this point in time, he's more or less just raised Lazarus from the dead. An act that made the chief priests and Pharisees plot against him. Because of all he has said and done, many Jews now see Jesus as the Messiah, referenced in the Old Testament. Before the arrival of Jesus, there had been no prophetic voice from God, nothing. It had been absolute quiet. And that happened for about 400 years. So this fact alone helps us to understand, to set the context of why the Jews thought Jesus was the long-awaited for Messiah, because they saw he spoke with authority like a prophet. He spoke the words of God and performed miracles. And that is why on that first Palm Sunday there was so much excitement, so much anticipation, a real buzz in the air that the Messiah had finally come, and he'd come to Israel. With his coming, they believed he would restore Israel. They believed the Messiah would be like King David, that he would go to war against their enemies. Now at this time, their main enemy were their Roman occupiers. They believed he would fight them, get them out of the country. And as has been prophesied in the Old Testament, Israel would rule the world from Jerusalem. Today, we know this wasn't the way Jesus saw his reign when he inaugurated his kingdom on earth. But it's helpful for us just to go back to that time and those events and what they have been taught in the synagogue, because I think it helps us understand how the events of what we now call Holy Week unfold and why. So as Jesus enters Jerusalem, you can sense the expectation of him from the people. I think I'm going to mention that this expectation, anticipation, had not diminished even after a 24-kilometre or an 18-mile, mostly uphill walk from Jericho, which was where they started, to their arrival in Jerusalem. 6 hours, they had been like this, excited, singing and shouting his praises. They stop around Bethany at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sends two of his disciples to go and get him a colt from Jerusalem. That's another journey of just over an hour. I wonder what Jesus did then while he waited for them. Did he think about what was to come? Did he toss it around in his head, perhaps looking for another way? Because we know the thought crossed his mind in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet, knowing all this, he still gave himself to the will of God, trusting him completely. And I think, yet again, that's another example Jesus shows us, that we do the will of God because we trust him completely in what he asks us to do. What do we turn to when we have doubts or worries? In whom do we put our trust? We know who it should be, but do we? Having set the scene, Jesus now begins his journey into Jerusalem. The expectation, the excitement cannot be contained anymore. They shout out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven," which is part of Psalm 118. And this is a psalm which was most likely sung as a form of worship as they entered the temple. For example, at Passover, which was what every Jew was gathering in Jerusalem for now, if they were able to. They are so sure Jesus is the coming king that they throw their cloaks in his path, as they would for a king. What do we think about that? As a mother, every time I saw my boys' coats go on the floor, I think, knowing how much they cost. And it's a bit like that, because to own a cloak was a wonderful thing. A cloak could be a guarantee for debt you owed. A cloak cost a lot of money. A cloak was the one thing that would keep you warm, would keep you dry. If you had no home, even if you had a home, it was everything to you. They cost a lot and you never relinquished them, unless of course someone would take it as a payment for the debt. And even then, they were only allowed to keep that payment for the day. They had to return it to you at night, so you had some warmth for the night to come. So I think throwing their cloaks on the ground was making quite a significant statement as to who they believed Jesus to be. And of course, if they didn't have a cloak, we know they ripped the palm leaves from the trees to put before him for him to walk on. So that's the scene. That's what they did, that's why they did it. The only thing was, this king did not ride in as triumphantly as they expected a king to do. He rode in on a colt, and that's very specifically told us in the Bible. He didn't ride in on a war horse. He didn't make a show of his mighty army. And he didn't come with all the pomp and grandeur that a king would have done. So what does this tell us about Jesus? It tells us he chose to come in peace. Riding a colt was a sign of peace and humility. Again, setting the example for how we are to behave. Now we know Jesus and the disciples are aware of the Pharisees' hostility, and that the disciples just can't believe he's going to Jerusalem at this point. But they do decide to go with him. And as they go, Jesus tells them what will happen to them. Him. But this triumphant entry is causing problems. He's already got problems with the Pharisees because they don't like him. And this is just adding to it now, because the religious leaders and teachers believed there were two conflicting views about the Messiah at this time. And they had great difficulty determining which one was true of the Messiah to save Israel. Now, one was from the book of Daniel, where it says the Messiah will reign over all. And the other is from Zechariah, where it says the Messiah is proclaimed as coming to Jerusalem. Righteous, victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the Pharisees were struggling with these two interpretations of how the Messiah would present himself. And they came to a conclusion. They couldn't say that the Torah, the Old Testament, was false because they believed in it. So they reconciled these views in the best way they could. And they said the Messiah would come humbly to an unworthy Israel. But a triumphant, conquering Messiah would come to a worthy Israel. In the Pharisees' eyes, Israel was worthy. They followed the law, so they believed. So therefore, Jesus, riding in on a colt, could not be the Messiah because he came humbly. But they were afraid to say this because they feared the reaction of people who truly believed Jesus was the Messiah. So with all this, we can see how the triumphant entry of today turns in to Good Friday. Once Jesus reaches Jerusalem, he goes into the temple courts, and we are told he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Again, I thought they'd just walk there, and they're walking back. Quite a lot of walking in a day. And the Bible doesn't say they went and they had a wee rest and a drink and some refreshments. No, they go there, Jesus looks round, and they go back to Bethany for the night. Why did they leave? They just got there. Was it because it was late? Was it because it was late and nobody was there? Why did they go all the way back to Bethany again, apart from to rest for the night? We don't know. Was Jesus inspecting the premises? As we know, the next morning, he cleared the temple of the money changers. And this was, of course, something else that didn't make him popular. And further on, we read that when the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard about this, they began to look for a way to kill him. They feared him because their people, the people they had brought up, they had taught in the synagogues, were amazed at Jesus' teaching, not theirs. So that's Palm Sunday. Jesus is acknowledged by the crowds, but not by the Pharisees. In the coming week, we'll see how much the situation changes. How much, as I was saying to the children earlier, things are published on social media and people believe it without checking the facts, going to the sources. Here, the Pharisees began rumours. People believed them. They stopped believing in Jesus. In the coming week, we'll see how much the situation changes from Jesus triumphantly today being recognised as Messiah, going through the events of this week to Good Friday. How do we feel today? And how do we feel about Jesus' followers being so weak? How do we feel about them being behind him today and leaving him when they needed him? The reality is, following Jesus is not easy. Children can get bullied at school. Adults can get bullied at work. More than bullied, sidelined sometimes. But today is a fantastic day. It's a day where Palm Sunday, we remember the coming of Jesus and all he was going to do for us. And I've got a wee drama for you all now, so I'll go and get it.